Welcome to another inspirational teaching by Pastor Bobby Houston and the Hillsong Sisterhood team at Hillsong Church. For more information about Pastor Bobby's teaching and ministry, please visit www.brianandbobby.com.
Any overcomers in the room? How about in the other rooms, all the 14 locations that are watching in right now up and down the country? One more time, have we got any overcomers in the room? Amen, fantastic. Well, welcome to Sisterhood. Welcome to what is our Pink Breast Cancer Awareness Morning, which we do annually, and I think it's so important. Amen. And you know what? If you're new or visiting today here at Hillsong Church, our sisterhood, you're so welcome. We're so thrilled and pumped and crazy excited that you are here. And my name is Bobby Houston, for anyone who perhaps doesn't know that. You all know that. My girlfriends all know that. You can call me Roberga, remember? Remember Lexi, Roberga? Yeah, no, that's another story and another world. But anyway, my name is Bobby. Just in case someone has come in here with a friend for this special morning, and we're thrilled to have you here. You're our guest. We love you, and it's exciting. Amen? Amen. Why don't you take the hand of the girl beside you if it's not too sweaty? All right? Just wipe it off. Wipe your hands off. Amen. And we're just going to pray and commit this morning to our amazing God. Amen? Because He's incredible. And I'm excited for today. I'm actually excited. I think the Lord has got something in store that perhaps will be eternal, that will be unseen. And I love those kind of mornings. Amen? So all in every location. Father, we just thank you for this beautiful day. It's a spring day. And Father God, the sun is shining. And Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves to you, our homes, our families, those we love, Father God, we commit ourselves to you, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll have your perfect way today. We welcome your Holy Spirit to come like you always do. You always promise to come. And I know that you're here and that you've got an agenda. You've got the heart of the Father to execute today. And so we cast all our cares upon you. We turn our eyes heavenward, and we just declare that we love you and that this morning is yours. And everyone said, amen, amen. Be beautiful, be beautiful. I'm jet lagged. I only got back from America like, I don't know where, a couple of nights ago. So turn around, say hello to somebody, and then you can be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Going to be released for a wee moment. All right, thank you. Great item, by the way. Great item to those who prepared that. And I also just want to say a shout out and hello to, look who's on the front row here. I don't know if the cameras can swing around, but Katrina, stand up. Okay, listen, in just 1 minute, just tell us just something great that's happening over there.
Well, we just launched a new Connect group this week off the back of Heart and Soul in Tel Aviv in Israel, which is very exciting. We had our first ever gathering of any kind. We had a Heart and Soul night, and for our Connect group to pull all that off from barely even knowing each other was actually a miracle and a real game changer. And the very next day on Facebook, a brand new family who had joined us just 3 weeks prior wrote on Facebook all these photos, and then they just wrote, we are home.
Oh. We love that. And you're home simply because you're still processing aspects of going. Because that makes sense, doesn't it? Amen? No? Don't know, don't care? Fantastic. And also, I just want to bring a praise report before we're turning the morning upside down a little bit, because I like to do that every now and then. And all the components will be in it and more. But just before we get into this, I just want to give a great shout out to you girls for last week and for the Walk for Freedoms. And Julia and Kylie and the teams all up and down the country, you organised so beautifully and so well. And here's the praise report. Christine Kane told me that there were officially 500 registered Walk for Freedoms around the world, which is spectacular. She gave me the number actually in those literally registered and walking, and it was in the multiplied thousands. And Christine always says that whenever this time of year comes around and whenever these walks happen and whenever she actually says, whenever you guys lead the charge, breakthrough begins to happen. They see more rescues when it comes to human trafficking. They see more breakthroughs, more prosecutions. And so you know what? It's powerful. And 2 weeks ago, we prayed to that end, and I believe that is going to be a fruit that one day we will be aware of. And then the good part, the praise report, is that the girls tell me that we executed 27. Was it 27, Jules? 27 walks across Australia on the Thursday and the Thursday evening. So more power to you in Jesus' name, amen? Amen. We've already prayed, haven't we? Yeah, good job, mate. Okay, good job us. Say, good job us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, so this is, this is our Breast Cancer Awareness Morning. And I actually think it is extremely important that we as a sisterhood, Hillsong Church sisterhood, Colour sisterhood, that we actually pause with the rest of the world, okay, because the world pays attention to this, and that we actually acknowledge the challenge of breast cancer that affects literally multiplied millions of women around the world. A huge proportion of women are actually affected by this. So again, I think it is extremely important, and I really feel to tell our team and my team here that this is something that we just need to not accident into, and we don't, because we didn't approach it like that today. But you know what? We can't accident into this. If we're going to be a sisterhood who has within our language, my sister's keeper, then we need to pay attention to this, because again, can I repeat, it affects a huge proportion of women around the world. And statistics are not always encouraging or exhorting, and I understand that, but nevertheless, they are real. They're not encouraging, they're not exhorting. Sometimes we like want to draw back from statistics, but yesterday when I was pondering and framing how to approach this morning, I actually thought about it, and I thought, you know what? Fear, despair, hopelessness doesn't have to traffic in reality. So you know there's an old saying, I haven't said it for a long time, it says that fear traffics in darkness, and it does. The enemy, who is the author of fear, God is the author of life and love, the enemy traffics in fear, and fear traffics in darkness. So when we bring light into the equation, basically we are putting to flight some of those negative realities, and we are allowing pathways of life and light in Jesus' name. And so one more time, fear, despair, hopelessness does not have to traffic in reality. Rather, everyone say rather. Rather, faith, hope, peace that is beyond understanding, hallelujah, and the miraculous can also manifest beautifully in the midst of difficult diagnoses. And we have to remember that as women of faith, the vast majority of us here today, across our locations, perhaps if this goes to the channel one day, actually watching on, you know what? We're women and we're people of faith, and that's a wondrous thing. The invitation is open to all on that note. And so again, these good things can manifest beautifully in the midst of sometimes difficult realities. As far as statistics go, again, I don't like saying them, but you know what? They're fact. They're not a proclamation. They're not a declaration over our lives. But these are the realities, just a handful of facts. Breast cancer is the only cancer considered universal amongst women worldwide. It's a universal ailment, and it affects the sisterhood. It affects the daughters of God on the earth. Breast cancer is the most common cancer in Australian women. With, again, I don't like the proclamation, with 1 in 8 diagnosed before age 85. And so, again, I'm just repeating this because sometimes when you begin to say things like this or report things like this, people get fearful, because then we could go in a room like today and there will be several thousand gathered up and down the country. We could count along 8 and go, well, there you go, 1 and 8, and then we could count again. And so it can become difficult. But again, as I wrote up here, this simply heightens the importance of awareness, early checkup, and early response. Would you not agree? Another statistic says, sadly, that 58% of deaths, of breast cancer deaths, are actually in the developing world. And I didn't really know how to respond to that except to be sad and to remind us that we are a global sisterhood and we have a prayer initiative called Midday Baby Midday. And if you're pondering and wondering how can you pray for people and you run out of ideas, as if we ever could, you know what? That is actually a valid thing to pray about. And I think possibly within developing the developing world, that there is such a high percentage because it's not diagnosed. The pathways of diagnosis are not there. And so we need to consider that and be prayerful about that and see if that by any way can change and if we as a sisterhood could play a part in that. I don't know. Statistics say that men are not exempt, actually. And Catherine, she gathered these statistics for me, that 150, I guess in 1 year, 150 men in Australia will be diagnosed with breast cancer. I remember many years ago we had a friend in Los Angeles who had a double mastectomy, a gentleman, and so I didn't even know at the time that men could actually suffer this. But here's some good news, and it is good news if I'm reading it correctly. There is a 90% chance of surviving 5 years from diagnosis in Australia. So that's actually very, very good news. Amen. The real world, real challenges, but nevertheless. And the bottom line, the experts say, literally, detection of the cancer, while it is still small and confined to the breast, provides the best chance of effective treatment. Benefits of early detection include increased survival, hallelujah, increased treatment options, and improved quality of life. So we need to pay attention to these things, amen? So again, amid bad news, there is always good news. And again, I just want to say that faith and encouragement and support and prayer, which are all positive forces. They're not just airy-fairy like, oh, if you just like have some positive thinking. No. All of these things are very positive, true forces in the earth. Faith, encouragement, support, prayer can actually negate this negative reality and can allow it to be addressed and minimized and dealt with and turned around. Amen? I also want to say right here and now, in this room and in the rooms watching, if you have suffered loss, if you have lost someone to breast cancer, we are so sorry. We are so sorry. Our empathy goes to you, our love goes to you, and we empathize. And the world is not a perfect place, and it's a broken place, and it's full of heartache, and that is why the Lord Jesus Christ, this is why our beautiful Heavenly Father sent His Son Jesus into the mess to help. He came to a broken world that is still broken. It only finds redemption in and through Christ. And that's the truth, and that's the reality. And so we worship, we have actually a good, good God. But if you have lost someone, if they have died in faith, if they have died believing, but you know what, it didn't, they crossed over. If the Lord saw fit to take them home. And I think there's a mystery even in that for believers. I think sometimes the Lord goes, let's just bring them home. Okay? So our hearts go out to you and our hearts are with you today. So you know what? There are literally so many magnificent individual stories, even within this house and church, that could be told. And so we have prepared our amazing film crew, have put together the most stunning story that gives insight and testimony from actually two families. So I'm just going to ask you to watch that. I think we can just leave this here, right? Just leave this here. So why don't you watch the screen and then I'm going to come back. Amen? Yeah, why don't we put our hands together for our courageous friends who, Leanne and Bella are sitting down here, and Steph, sweetheart, well done. And a beautiful team who actually craft that story, and I really believe that story is going to bring great courage to many. And so allow me just to continue, because out of that, there were so many things that I love. That's the third time I've watched it. Watched it the first time when I got off the plane two mornings ago in the car, and it was spectacular. And And three times, and every time it's like everything that we see in church life or anything, it's the more you watch and the more you meditate something. It's the same with the Word of God. The more you meditate it, the more it comes to life within it. But I actually love that within that story, I love how the Lord actually said to Leanne, hide in me till this trouble has passed. Hide in me until this trouble has passed. And again, life has troubled times. There are troubled waters within the waters of life. And the Psalms, if you were to read the Psalms and hide yourself in the Psalms, you're going to find psalmists and men of God who had troubled times, and yet they found their strength and their source in that. There's a saying that this too shall pass. It's true. In life, you know, life sometimes, as I just said, has troubled waters. But can I just tell you something, friends? Can I tell you something across this, you know, talking into these rooms? It will pass. It will pass one way or another because we're actually walking through life. And so take courage in that. I love that the Lord actually said to Leanne that he prepared her. He prepared her by saying, a wave is coming. Hide in me. Stay in beauty, it will not harm you. A wave is coming, hide in me, stay within beauty, stay within what is beautiful and what is right and noble and life-giving, and it will not harm you. And again, everything about the promise of God, now that's her promise, that was her personal promise. But you know, how many times do we say the Word of God, the scripture, the gospel is both personal and inclusive of all. So regardless of where you might be in life, what you might be facing, this good, good God who shows no preference or bias towards any of us, he doesn't have favorites. We are all hashtag his favorites. Amen. You should write that down. That's important. You need to remember that one day. We are all God's hashtag favorites. Do you know what? He has words of life for you. However, I am waiting for the day, not to make light of anything, that we see you paint the waves with your breast on it. That would be like abstract art, right? And then we could just scribble over it, not today, devil, not today. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. I love that she and Joe, her husband, and their elders in our church, I love that Joe said they agreed to let's do this right for our children. Let's do this right for our children. And he also said, your everyday normality is important. If you could just leave that on the screen, guys, for a moment. Let's do this right for our kids. And that, again, is important because when any diagnosis, whether it's breast cancer or any condition, it doesn't just rock the individual ship boat, it rocks the whole family. And it's almost like a diagnosis on the whole family, as Steph would understand in total. Absolute. It's a diagnosis. And so, do you know what? It's important. And I think it's important as parents and as women to find that inner resolve and that inner strength to rise up, even when you don't want to rise up, and press on in him. Again, to find that inner strength. And, you know, husbands, we've got to remember. So I'm talking to us. I'm seeking to talk to us. And if this is resonating with you at a personal level, then so be it. This is the Lord speaking for you. He's loving you. But I'm speaking to us as a sisterhood when we encounter others, when we rub shoulders with others. And I think that is a very critical part about our testimony. And so we've got to remember that for husbands, for our spouses, it's a hardcore reality. I remember when my girlfriend Holly, Holly Wagner, many of you know and love her in Los Angeles, when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, her husband, Philip, rose up, and they won't mind me saying, he rose up and he said, Holly, I'm going to be there for you, but it's just not right now. I'm not there for you right now, because he couldn't deal with it. He was having his own meltdown at the reality that his wife had this condition and he didn't know what to do. And so you know what? Many of you know this story. I haven't mentioned it for a long time. She went the whole route of treatment, et cetera, et cetera. But then she ended up going to a clinic in Mexico, and she was allowed to have a buddy come. And so she asked if I would come to Mexico, just across the border, to this amazing clinic, because, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen in outside of US borders that can't happen inside US borders because of regulations. And so I went to be her buddy. And I thought Philip was doing the first half of the 2 weeks that she had there. And I was going to do X amount of days. And when I got there, Philip had been there one day and then he'd gone home. And so this is where the girlfriends come in. Because he pretty much said, I'm there for you, Holly, I'm just not there yet. And so he went home, and I stepped into the gap with her, and this is what we do, don't we? And I don't have a lot of experience, but for her, I just was remembering in the car this morning, I was like, when they put her in these fancy decompression chambers with only her head sticking out and basically cooked her up, and, you know, I mopped her brow and I tickled her nose when it was itchy, and I kept the earphones in her ears because she was listening to Pastor Brian teach. And then I tried not to be envious when she stepped out and had lost 5 pounds. I was like, I want to get in that thing so I can lose 5 pounds. And we had moments that were intense, and then we had moments that were hilarious when they gave her like wheat germ enemas. I'm like, that's what you need. You need to be shot up the backside with some wheat germ. It's like seriously, a whole new reality to Just Juice. But anyway, so there were moments, so this is where we step in. But having said that, I just loved that Joe said that, let's do it right for our kids. And then again, to our everyday normality is important. And you know, again, within reason, because everyone faces things at different intensity, within reason, don't draw back from the things that stabilize. Because that's what we want to do often when we are faced with trauma or with crisis, correct? We want to draw back, hide, and sometimes, you know, I'm just saying, just by the grace of God, don't draw back from the things that actually stabilize life. I need to move on. I love that Leanne got to say at the very end, I got breast cancer and I discovered that God loves me even more, beauty for ashes. And to echo her, she said, how is that possible? Like, how did that happen? It was amazing. I love that young Steph saw her mother's faith. I love that she saw her mother's faith. And you know what? That's a gift. I'm going to cry now. But that's a gift to you. That's a gift your mum gave you. She gave you a very precious gift that you are now giving expression to, that is going to be a gift to others. So, you know, in the midst of her trial and her troubled waters, she gave her family faith. And I love how that she heard her mum down the hallway muttering, God will never give me more than I can handle. God will never give me more than I can handle. And in all truthfulness, there's a mystery to this. And I think there's a mystery in the challenge, but the light of eternity will throw light on the mystery of our here and now. And there are things that we may never fully understand, but one day it shall become clear. And this life we are just passing through. So we always need to remember these things, hey? And I also just want to say how I love that Steph is one of our true young brave hearts. Because that family not only lost their mum, but a year later they lost their father. And so I love that you said at the end, I can't even look that way. I love that you said at the end that prayer lightened the burden. And prayer does lighten the burden. And I want to say to you that if by grace, by the grace of God, and if our powers to be have any sense in this, let's start that again. If, because I'm giving them a hard time. Okay, if they see fit, this should go on the channel. And this story should go on the channel. And your story should go on the channel. And it possibly will. And then it will be literally viewed by multiplied millions. And I want to say your courage is going to feed and sustain many. All right? This is how it works. It's how it works in Jesus' name. And that's true of any challenge in life. So again, I've got to keep watching the time because we're all topsy-turvy. Okay, so again, the spirit of sisterhood and the spirit of my sister's keeper, as many of you know and are aware of, okay, it's all in the sisterhood book, is that of awareness, support, response, empathy, compassion, and prayer. And how many know that godly compassion and prayer bears fruit? Jesus was moved, every time he was moved with compassion, you know the deal in the scripture, miracles took place. So when we allow our hearts to be moved with godly compassion and then godly prayer and response, fruit is born. And so today, everyone say today. Okay, I need you to really listen to me because I'm not doing this because I'm just, this is what I wanted to do. I really felt God lay this on my heart as I was flying out of Springfield, Missouri this week to come home, knowing that this Thursday was so important. I'm really believing that today and in the days that are ahead, godly compassion, like I just said, is going to bear fruit in the same manner that our Israel mountain prayer for women suffering infertility is bearing fruit and is going to continue to bear fruit. Either firsthand in you, if you're here suffering either breast cancer or any other kind of life-threatening condition or whatever, it's going to bear fruit in you by the grace of God or in someone else. In the same way that so many girls stood when we prayed for infertility at Colour, they stood for their friends. And you know, I've told you, so many testimonies are coming in of even unchurched girls, unaware, their friends stood, videoed it, recorded it, have been praying for their friends, said, I'm standing for you, my girlfriend or my sister, and we're getting stories of miraculous breakthrough. And I am very pedantic in believing that we haven't seen the half of this. We're just scratching the surface of something deeper that God wants. So on that note, we all need to save a date for our Sisterhood United night. And we need to be bringing people because I don't quite yet know what I'm going to talk about, but I've got a feeling and it's going to go out all around the world to all our locations around the world, and it's going to launch, it's going to close the year, and it's going to launch us into the colour season. And I think God has got some pretty amazing things. He sees the potential within us. He knows what's within us. And I don't even think sometimes we even half understand it. So are you with me on that? Give me a little shout out and a little hand raise if you're with me on that. And I think that as a sisterhood, we've got to continue to grow in our ability to pause and then listen, pause and pray, and pause and help, which is in essence what I'm trying to do today. And I think the miracle of divine intervention in this context, it might be in a public meeting like this, but more than likely, I think it's going to be in personal, random connections that you have out there in your everyday lives. I actually think that's going to how it's going to happen. It's like, yeah, we could bring them to a healing service and we could believe, and that's all good and right and noble, but I honestly believe that some of the miracles are going to happen as you just get alongside someone, even a stranger, someone at school, whatever, and you empathize correctly and you, with boldness, step in with faith and understanding and stand with that person, right? Got it. Because Romans 12 says in the message, so here's what I want you to do. You know this verse so well. God helping you, because God's always going to help us do this, right? Take your everyday, ordinary life. So think of it in context of mission, okay, rather than personal here right now. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's like assignment. It's like, Father, today, this week, Lord, wherever my feet might take me, Father God, my life is an offering. Lord, if I can step into the fray with anyone, set that up in Jesus' name, amen? It goes on, it says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture or so well adjusted even to the culture of sickness. Right? Because we can become adjusted to a culture of sickness. Like how many of us reach for Panadol and Nurofen before we reach and go, Lord, could you maybe just heal this? I mean, I do. And there's nothing actually wrong with that. But I'm just saying, let's just don't get so well adjusted to the culture that you fit into it without even thinking that actually I'm adding this, that there could be a higher way. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out because the soul realm and the spirit realm is what determines our every other realm. Okay, how well your spirit realm is, how well your soul realm is determines. It says you'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. There you go, Bob. There's just layers of revelation in the word, isn't it? Don't hesitate. Do it. Don't hesitate. Don't let the moment pass. Do it. Should I pray for that person? Should I be bold enough to say? Do it. Just don't do it weird, all right? Okay? Just don't do it weird. And I mean that. There's just too many weird Christians in the world. It's not helping the cause. All right. And then it says, God brings the best out of us, developing well-formed maturity in us. So here's what I want us to do today. I'm going to come and ask the team just to come and stand with me, okay, and just undergird right now the worship team, all right? So this is what I felt to do by the grace of God. I felt like I believe that there is beauty in Holy Communion. There is beauty in Holy Communion. And I want us to receive communion today as a sisterhood for ourselves, perhaps for any illness that you might have yourself, or for others, if I may take that liberty. And we, as a church, celebrate communion regularly, but sometimes it's rushed. Sometimes it's within the fabric of a service and many dynamics. So we're not going to rush it today. Is that all right? You know, the early church, just as way of foundation, the early church broke bread often. They broke bread communion, Holy Communion. They broke bread at the instruction of Jesus, all right? They broke bread at the instruction of Jesus. He was teaching them to honor and have memory of the Old Testament Passover, where death passed over literally the households of those whom had smeared the blood of the sacrificial lamb over their doorposts. And there's a great truth and a great revelation within that. So the early church broke bread at the instruction of Jesus. The early church broke bread at the Last Supper, the disciples, the Last Supper, that indeed was not the Last Supper, but became the first of many suppers. He made a way. They thought it was the last. He said this, you know, but it became the first of many. And because of what Christ did for us, he opened a way. Revelation says that he stands on and he knocks on the door of our heart. And if we open, he will come in and sup with us and we with him. So it actually was an invitation. And what happened in that holy exchange of bread and wine became an invitation to intimacy, actually. An invitation to intimacy, an invitation to a promise and to a future and a hope. So it was spectacular. The early church broke bread from house to house, literally. From house to house, it was part of their fellowship. And as they broke bread, it reminded themselves. They reminded themselves of actually who they were now. They were followers of Christ. They were under a new covenant. Amen. And everything, with every right to everything that Christ secured for us in his death and resurrection. Amazing. So it was fellowship. It was, at times it was with bread and wine. At times it was just with bread. So there's this, I believe personally, that there's this combination of Holy Communion where we pause and the Eucharist, everything. But there's also great revelation and life to be had in the exchange of just our fellowship and our breaking bread and sharing meals together. When you fellowshiped properly outside in the foyers before sisterhood, in essence, it's a breaking of bread. We're sharing fellowship together. So it's beautiful. The early church, they broke bread when faced with challenge and storm and crisis. On the plane, I read in Acts chapter 27, it tells the story how Paul, he had been taken prisoner, he was put on a ship, there were other prisoners, the oceans were fierce, there was storm, they couldn't land, it was treacherous, they were going to lose their lives. And then he rises up as a prisoner, if I've got it right, he rises up as a prisoner, takes charge of the situation, pretty much more or less says to everyone, if you stay in the ship, you will not perish. So I don't think he was just talking about the ship. He was like, stay in the revelation, stay with me. And he says, you know what? You haven't eaten for days. And they literally wouldn't have. They were early century prisoners. But you know what it says? How they found bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and they were sustained. And it says they ate as much as they could and then they continued and then they found safe haven and God miraculously brought them to shore or to a sandbar, blah, blah, blah. Everyone say blah, blah, blah. So you know what I mean? I read that. I'm like, I think there's more revelation in here. Stay in the ship. Don't abandon. Stay in the ship. And it's like when they broke bread, he thanked God. I mean, really, it was a heathen situation happening here. And yet he drew this holy communion into the equation in the midst of challenge, storm, and crisis. So if you're in challenge, storm, and crisis, this is part of our reality, or it can be part of our reality. And so this morning, I'm not going to do the study for you, because I really believe that in our own study and search that we find revelation ourselves. But I have a number of girlfriends who have had breast cancer, and they all agree, literally, listen, that the revelation of redemptive healing heightens in the intimacy of making communion part of your regular or daily regime. I text them, a number of them yesterday. I text Liz Cloud up in Noosa. I text Marilyn Brett, who's Laura Lentz's mom and who was part of our college for so long, had breast cancer only a couple of years ago. I text Margaret Stunt. I text Holly herself. And I text Christine Kane. And I asked that question, did communion become more powerful for you when you were in this place? And all of them agreed yes. And so I asked Christine, of course I did, in the airport in Dallas on Sunday night. And of course she comes back in a flash. There's no one like her. She comes back in a flash. So I said, Christine, because I actually knew that she did. When she had cancer in her throat and what have you, she really took this to bat. She really found a place of revelation and taking regular communion herself. And so I asked her that question, and this is what she came back, and I'm going to put it on the screen, so I'm just going to read it to you. She said, yes, of course she did. She said, I so did. I read so many books on it, but honestly, it's so simple. Basically, his body was broken so mine could be whole. I would declare that every day. Besides being born again in Christ, a healthy body and mind are the greatest blessings anyone can have. And the Holy Communion is God's ordained channel of healing and wholeness. On the night he was betrayed, she cut and paste out of her notes. She didn't just give this to me in the moment. She said, let me look, let me think, let me go back to my notes and my journals. She writes, on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus ate his last supper with his disciples. And knowing what he would accomplish through his sacrifice, he instituted Holy Communion. His loving instruction, everyone say loving instruction. Okay, it's a loving instruction, is that we are to remember him as we partake of Holy Communion. Jesus wanted us conscious of how his body was broken for our wholeness and his blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. And whenever we partake in this consciousness, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes, which just basically means we proclaim his lordship. We proclaim what he actually accomplished for us. Today, when we partake of the bread, we are declaring that Jesus' health and divine life flows in our mortal bodies. And when we partake of the cup, we are declaring that we are forgiven and have been made righteous. Jesus' blood gives us right standing before God, and we can go boldly into God's presence. Hebrews 4:16, amen. When we pray, we can be sure that God hears us. And then Acts chapter 2:46 says, every day, everyone say every day. Okay, are you with me on the locations? Every day, every day. Okay, that's not just like once a month or once every 3 months or whenever church decides to give you communion, actually. It's all fine, but nevertheless, it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. All right? Then she added a quote, and I'm going to read it. We think it's someone called Sid Roth. Praise the Lord. But they write, back in the early church, Christians would meet each other every day, either corporately in the temple or from house to house in smaller groups. And when they met in their homes, the Bible tells us that they would break bread, that's the Holy Communion, and they took it every day. Now this person writes, now I am not saying that you must take the Holy Communion every day, but if you feel led to and you want to, go ahead. The thing about taking the Holy Communion daily is this: if you are sick, you can be made well on a gradual basis. This means that you get healthier and stronger from day to day. First 30-fold, then 60-fold, then 100-fold. You see, while you can receive healing through the prayer of faith, Mark 11 says that, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Okay, it sometimes puts pressure on you because it requires you to believe that you receive it all, complete healing the moment you pray. There is nothing wrong with the prayer of faith. Let's face it, we all understand this, right? There is nothing wrong with the prayer of faith. But you may find yourself saying, I must believe, I must receive it all now. I must believe I have it all now. But the Holy Communion allows you to receive a measure of healing every time you partake in faith, so that you get better and better. The more you take it, the better you become. There is no pressure to believe that you receive it all at once. Isn't God good? He meets you at your level of faith. Now, there are cases I know, he writes, of in our church, in our family, in my own life, where the manifestation of healing is immediate and complete. If it happens that way, praise God. But if not, don't worry. The more you partake, the better you will become. I know of people who take Holy Communion 3 times a day, just like they would their medicine. Why not? My friend, if you are very sick and you are diligently taking your medications 3 times a day, why not give the Lord's Supper the same amount of attention? Why not boast your recovery rate? And the next time you eat the bread and drink the cup, you may just find your disease has gone. End of quote. So we're going to receive communion together. We're going to receive communion together. I'm going to ask the team to begin to serve out our communion. And this is happening on all of our locations. Amen. I don't want anyone going anywhere. I don't want you to think of this as just as per normal, what we do. Okay. Let's let this breathe and let's receive Holy Communion. So you're just going to pass the cups along like we do. We're going to hold them and we're going to pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got oceans of time and we're going to worship. Hallelujah, Jesus. Beautiful. If you're here today, I just want to say this. If you're here today and a friend's brought you, you've never been in an environment like this on any of our locations today, you're welcome to receive communion. But you know, the Bible also tells us that we need to consider our lives so that we don't partake unworthily. And so I just want to encourage you that you're welcome to receive. And you're welcome to open your heart right now. If for the first time or if in a place of rededication, you're welcome to open your heart to the love of God, even right now. I want to tell you that there is a Savior in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. He came into the mess to redeem us. He laid his life down. That's what he did. This is what we're celebrating. When we take the cup, when we take the bread, it's in remembrance of his broken body that he took. He took the weight of sin and shame for us so that we could actually have life. And the cup represents his blood poured out, his holy blood that was poured out for the remission of sin, for the wiping away of sin. So this is what Holy Communion is. And if you have never opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and you would like to today for the very first time, then I encourage you just to have a heart that leans heavenward. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer in one moment as we partake of communion. All you have to do is open your heart and say, God, I'm hungry for you. I don't fully understand, but Lord, if you are real, I'm willing to give it a go. And I open my heart to you. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sins. And if I acknowledge that and receive you, then I'm going to be forgiven and cleansed and made new. That's salvation in a heartbeat. And it happens in a heartbeat, right? We know this to be true. Hands up if you know this to be true in your life, right? So you're amongst friends. So Father, in Jesus' name, pray that healing will be the pathway forward now. In Jesus' name, for so many that you prayed for. Julia, why don't you get that microphone? She's going to come up and bring this service to conclusion. We've already made an appeal, and you know what? She's going to tell you that if you made that decision for the very first time, we have something we want to give to you. But listen, I put this chair here because, not because I wanted to sit on a throne room, be the, you know, person who sat here, but do you know what? How many of you have ever thought of having communion on your own in your bedroom or in your lounge room? And I did it yesterday, and I have to admit, I only had a piece of sourdough and some white wine, and the television news was still going in the other room. But nevertheless, do you know what I'm saying? And I think actually it's something that some of us, probably most of us, could grow in revelation on. And it's about intimacy. That's actually what it's about, in Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. Join us again next week for the next part of this message. For more information about the Hillsong Sisterhood, including blogs and Twitter updates, be sure to visit www.thecolorsisterhood.com.